When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Binge Down, how we feeling today? It's your boy Dave, and I am joined by fellow weebs Alki and Kyle, and we are continuing our coverage of the hit Korean webtoon anime adaptation Solo Leveling with episodes 10 and 11 titled What Is This? A Picnic and A Knight Who Defends an Empty Throne. All of that needs to be said is peak, just peak. That's really it. What else is there to say besides I feel like I'm just like living in a dream? These, especially episode 11, was just such a treat, and it's definitely going to be an episode that I will be going back on my own watching, like Kyle and always say, definitely lots of reaction videos on YouTube. I'll be consuming those for months on end. That's how much I loved episode 11. One thing I want to say that should have been brought up like weeks ago is that the animators at some point did state that the animation of the fights was going to get better as Sung got stronger, and that is certainly the case, it feels like, from where the animation was with his first bout with Rasaka in episode whatever that was, 3. It just feels like the animation has 100% stepped up, and this battle I feel like is one of the more good looking battles I've ever seen. If we're just excluding Demon Slayer and all their fights, I feel like this honestly falls into the top 3 of most well animated fights that I've personally seen. But I could just gush over and over about the fight scene in episode 11. I think it was anime episode of the year, and it's not even a contest yet. I've just been so happy with the adaptation, and I cannot express the amount of devastation that I'll be feeling after next week's episode. Really not much else to say, but I'll just pass it over to Kyle and Alki for their thoughts.
Just a sick episode, bro. I mean, you said it all. First of all, it's great to be back. Every 2 weeks, it's feels like too long, but man,
I feel like finally we've been talking about this all year about where this is going to go, and I feel like we were pretty much right. Mm-hmm. Seeing this fight on screen is, I mean, it's like I have no words for it. The animation is fantastic. I don't know if it's the greatest fight I've ever watched in animation,
but it's
freaking up there. It's definitely high quality, so fluid. The background stories are really moving well. I just really like how much the story is developing, and I wish I had 10 more episodes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything new to say.
All right, let's just kick it right off then with episode 10. What is this? A Picnic. How we're going to do this episode, and specifically, is we're just going to talk about Choi, essentially, to start off, get all of his scenes from both this episode and next episode, so we don't really have to worry about it. And then we'll
Choi
get
being,
this, I don't know his like whole name, but he's the pink haired guy
with the glasses
who leads the
top wolves. Yeah, Shilly,
yeah, a hunters. He's the hunters guild.
Okay, that's right. But that's who we'll be covering. So. Essentially, Choi has a dream about the ants, obviously seeing someone important die to him. And he's constantly, as we've known from the past episodes, that he has been building this plan to start reconquering Jeju. And I think what I gathered from these scenes, I might have overlooked it, but this isn't them going to beat the gate. It's just them going to kind of test out where Jeju Island stands as of right now in terms of, I guess, difficulty and strength. So it's really just like a scouting mission.
Yeah.
Choi does gather a bunch of hunters. Was it only him and Cha being the only S ranks? I honestly didn't pause the screen to notice if like they were able to invite other guild S rank members.
I just saw them two as the definite S ranks. Okay. And let's just leave it at that, I guess.
Okay.
And that document proposal thing that I guess he had drawn up for either, I'm assuming that the head of the Hunters Association, that definitely said reconnaissance mission.
Yeah.
So they're going to just see what's going on there, see if they can probably, I assume their plan is to see if they can come up with a plan.
I feel like this was never in the...
It's definitely not in the webtoon.
Like, them going to the island definitely happens, but we never get this reconnaissance. So I personally am going to be very interested. I'm going to just mention a quick spoiler. So if you want to skip over it, just fast forward like 15 seconds. But I feel like this is where we're going to see that the ants, like, they're going to go to the island and see that they're flying. Like, that's what I think is going to happen, rather than them just kind of getting the pictures through online. Like, they might get them online too, but I feel like they'll actually experience firsthand how the ants are adapting, essentially.
Oh my God, I'm so hyped.
Yeah, I mean,
we're not going to get to see it, dude.
Yeah, we're not. I don't think so either. I don't think we'll see the reconnaissance mission. We'll definitely see the post aftermath of what happens on the reconnaissance mission, but I don't think we're going to actually see what happens. What do you think, Kyle?
There's a chance we see it. They made a point to weave the storyline throughout both of these episodes. So if it's just completely dropped for the finale, would feel odd. I mean, I think, yeah, either we get it or your theory comes true, Dave. I feel like those feel like the two most likely options.
I just feel like they're going to drop a season two like tomorrow.
I hope that would be
literally the craziest thing that's ever happened to me.
That would be the best. we can go now back to our MC, our boy, Song Jin-woo. I guess we can just talk about the date. It's not really even a date, but Joo-hee is going to retire. Not really big news for anybody here. I think we all have expressed our disinterest as these two, as a couple. So
it was just never going to be. She even mentions it. Their lifestyles at this point are quite different. She doesn't want to be a hunter anymore. Feels like a very prudent decision for her. It feels like the right decision for her. So I respect it.
Yeah, we respect the decision. I won't say we're anti-Joo-hee or anything, but we definitely respect her decision.
It feels tough. I mean, there's got to be a lot of money she's walking away from. Obviously, she literally cannot engage in the profession, it seems. But just walking, like, she's a B-rank healer. That feels like you could make so much money as a B-rank healer.
Yeah.
I'm glad. It's about time. Get out of here, dude. You're going to hold us back.
Yeah, we'll move on.
I like her.
We've already, as Song Jin-woo alludes to, we're well past the point of B-rank heroes at this point in the story. So, but let's continue on. We'll talk about how Meet the Woo kind of just tells Song straight up that he doesn't think Song could have beaten a B-rank hunter straight up, but he does inform him of the looming threat that is Hwang Dong-suk's brother, who is an S-rank hunter that is looking for him, essentially, because Sung was able to survive the dungeon and his brother didn't. It's not even a matter of, like, he loves his brother. It's just purely because his brother died and Sung survived, and he kind of just wants to know what's going on.
Hwang Dong, what? Hwang Dong-suk's brother, Hwang Dong-soo.
Yes.
That's the Korean names I love.
It gets worse. Younger too, brother, too. And Jin Ho's brother is like Jing Sung, which is just like, what a
dude. It's so stupid. I mean, honestly, that's why I'm like, I remember reading this shit. Sung Jin Woo, that's the only name I fucking remember. Yeah. And one other name that I'm not going to mention here, but I think Kyle knows what I'm talking about.
Dude, Cha Hae-in. What do you mean?
All right. Yeah. Well, that counts.
Cha Hae-in is one of the greatest characters.
But the quote that I love here is when he's like, I'm just warning you because there's a person that even monsters fear that is coming after you. And it's just like, oh, that's hard.
That was sick. And he does mention too that S-rank hunters are kind of outside the law.
Correct.
Like,
yes,
they can't really do anything to protect you. Like, the only thing that protects you is just pure strength. Which,
like, what are you gonna do? Arrest them? They could just break out,
yeah,
and just kill more people. So
pretty much
they're just slapping wrists out here for S-rank hunters.
Yeah. That's also like I don't want to say like arresting gold, but like they're also one of the most like valuable resources in the world. Mm-hmm. Like, any company guild would be willing to pay like an infinite amount of money to like bail them out of stuff. So,
I mean, we already know how much Song Jin-woo is getting paid, and he's not even like an S rank hunter, technically. Like,
well, that's a special case. This is a
special case, but just imagine the money that a known strong hunter would get. Yeah. Like, I mean, we get it later on too. Like, there is a guy that later on is like, oh, you need to give me like all of basically the United States assets in order for me to like clear this dungeon. They're like, okay, we'll do it. But anyway, we'll get there eventually. But we do get Sung and Jin Ho arriving at their first C rank gate. This is where the episode title comes into play. What is this, a picnic? We just have 10 buffoons just camping out, hanging around this C rank dungeon. Is Jin Ho and Sung just go in and clear that shit. That was, I loved this so much. Like giving us the timestamp of they enter at 3 o'clock and then I think it's like 4:35 and they're walking out and they're like, even if it was a full B rank squad or whatever, it would still take them at least 2 hours to clear this shit. But Sung's doing it under that time.
Yeah, they think they're running away.
Oh my God.
Too. Yeah. I like that his sister's friend is there. I also like, I kind of clocked her out as a character reading, especially you just moved so past her level of kind of involvement slash importance.
Right.
And something I noticed because I went back and read the chapters, just like a small change that feels smart is that she doesn't have green eyes in the webtoon, but it's just like to distinguish her as a character. She has this one distinctive trait that's like, okay, she's the one with the green eyes. I know who that is.
Because as soon as you give her brown eyes, she just looks like any other background character.
Yeah, you kind of blend in. So I just, that was just something I wanted to.
I remember her, but I don't really remember her significance at all.
So insignificant in the manga, it's unbelievable. Like, I think the only reason she's really introduced is to give you perspective on the sister's life at school, essentially.
And maybe just like his, the impact of his rampant improvement.
Is anyone going to potentially ship Sung Jinwoo in this high school girl? Because they make jokes about it, or they will eventually. That we'll get there. But the one thing that I do like that they mention here is Jinho mentioning that if they go, that if anyone that's there part of the raid goes public with the information that's going on in these gates, they actually have to pay. I think it was either 5 or 10 times the amount.
10.
Yeah, which answered the question that we had, and I think at the last recording, saying what is preventing these guys from just being like, oh my God, today I made $5 million just sitting outside of a gate while one dude just cleared all these dungeons. So
Jinho's smart. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. I forget that they have contracts drawn up. So that just makes everything so much better.
Yeah. And he literally says too when they leave the first one, he's like, all right, we're going wherever. Like, we got a chance to make you guys whatever the insane amount of money is in one day.
Mm-hmm.
I would be like, hell yeah.
Saying a word. Sung
does pop
the stealth rune before going into the first dungeon. And that's just important, obviously, because it's just a skill that we're going to become very attached to. And we're going to see very often we get the gag of Jinho's armor, which this armor set definitely looked better than the first one. I like the black and red more than the white and gold, I have to say.
He turtles on the ground.
And I, the music when they come out of this first dungeon, I don't know. I think it was the intro music. I'm not sure. It sounded very similar to it, but when they come out of the dungeon and that intro music is playing in the background and everyone's just so shocked, I'm like,
it was the intro music.
Yeah. I'm like, this is our fucking boy right here. This is our guy. Don't forget it.
This was the werewolf, right? That's pretty good. Yeah. What, is this a werewolf one? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, I was just going to say there's a montage. Yeah, I just have montage of clearing dungeons, which again,
goblins. That's all goblins.
It was goblins and werewolves. I think there was two of them. Like, I think it starts with goblins.
Lions, with tigers.
I only
bears.
Bring that up because in the chapters, there's just like a really cool scene where like you're in the dungeon before they go in and all of the like werewolves, like wolves are like shaking. And then like the entrance starts to melt into Sung Jinwoo's face.
Oh, yeah.
And then they run away. Was just like a sick panel that I was like, oh God. And I'm trying to think, he doesn't have the, because he has like the light blue jumpsuit on in the webtoon, like what zipped all the way up to the neck, just like going out for a jog basically, which is just a fantastic fit for the occasion as well.
He does rock some amazing fits because they're just so casual, and it just shows that he just doesn't care. That
once he gets the fucking suit, it's the black suit, looks like a
I love that one.
Yeah,
that's one of my favorites. Well, all right, bro. But this is again where I want to point out that again, that we obviously see Sung getting stronger, and it does to me, even in these dungeon clearing montages, the animation has really picked up from the beginning. So I just wanted to point that out again. We see the stealth in action against the wolves, like you said, Kyle. That was just very cool. Dash levels up after clearing some dungeons, as well as he obtains the skills of Fatal Strike and advanced dagger wielding, which I feel like are pretty straightforward. Fatal Strike is if he uses it, the attack will kind of lock into a fatal strike. It won't all, it's not always going to be successful against weaker enemies. It's going to be pretty much a one shot, but against high ranked enemies, it may take multiple fatal strikes, or a fatal strike could fail. I just want to put that out there. And then advanced dagger wielding. I don't even really know the intricacies of it, but I can just assume that if he uses it, he'll, his technique in dagger wielding will just be better. He does.
He has, there is like a specific
like trait or something.
I think it's like plus 33% damage to daggers.
That's what you're, that's what it is. You're absolutely right.
Yeah,
that's what it is. And here he kind of squashes what we were talking about in the last episode. So he admits to himself here that he is between a B and an A rank. And he, at this point, he has reached the required level and can now accept a job change request. Ultimate chills and hype when this popped up.
Yeah, we
on
know
the
it's coming.
Because
we know what's coming. We know what that means.
Yep. So after a long day of clearing dungeons, Sung requests a day off. And we know what that day off is going to be for. That'll be episode 11 talk. Yeah. But word is spreading quick about the C rank dungeons getting cleared. One guild, which I think was White Tiger Guild, correct. Yeah. And I'm going to have to dig for this man's name. Goddamn, where is it?
Chief. We just call him Chief.
All right, we'll call him Chief. I'm fine with that. I just found it too. It's An Song Min, but again, we'll just call him Chief because I just do not care less. Yeah. But he's kind of getting a little hints here from what's going on with Sung Jin Woo. He takes a peek at some documents, recognizes Sung Jin Woo's name, and immediately attaches the name to the three major gate events that had happened in recent memory, being the Kartanon Temple, obviously Sang getting killed, the B rank hunter, and then the group, Huang's group, all getting wiped out. So he's kind of pieced that together and sees that Sung is the common denominator.
Mm-hmm. This guy's good at his job.
Yeah.
It's just that the negotiation aspect.
He
definitely just underestimated Sung Jin Woo. He had no idea what he actually has on his hands.
I liked how he was like, "Boss, where are you going?" He's like, "Isn't it obvious? I'm going to scout a new recruit." I just thought that part was good.
I mean, it's probably literally the funnest thing they can do.
Yeah,
in
it's
job.
Probably awesome. Like, let's go watch some motherfuckers fuck shit up in action and like try to give him money to do that for us.
This is the first guy that's like outside of like our squad, if you want to call it, being like Juhee and the one armed guy. Like, this is the first guy that's actually getting their hands on the knowledge of being able to determine that Sung Jin Woo is probably reawakened. So if this guy was able to figure it out, it's not going to be too long before others figure it out. But this interrogation scene, or whatever you want to call it, this negotiation scene is just this was something that I loved in the manga, and I still absolutely loved watching it in the anime, because one, not only does Sung Jin Woo flex how strong he is with the stealth ability, cuts him a little bit, but he also weasels this guy out of hundreds of millions of dollars. Yeah. And it goes into show that Sung Jin Woo is not just pure strength. And this is why we fucking love Sung Jin Woo. He is just the man all the way through to his core.
Now, do you think this is his like intelligence stat playing a role here at all?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, probably. It has to be. Like, there's no way E rank Sung Jin Woo Hunter at the time was smart enough. He might have been. Yeah. Maybe.
It's kind of, maybe it's a combination too. He's definitely, like you're saying, losing a little bit of that like humanity emotion too. He's not like, because I feel like E-Rank Sung Jin Woo was like really kind and would have been like, "Oh, like that's such a good offer," like you know. But and then he wouldn't have like actually like used the leverage to then like create this situation where the guy is paying them $600 million for three gates. He would have been like, "Ah, oh, sorry, bud." Like,
what he did was ultimately, more than the money, was to kind of essentially blackmail the guy into never sharing the info that he has on Sung Jin Woo. That's the
Also, I feel like, realizes that if this random guy, he's not necessarily random, but he's not like a big player in the world, and this guy found out, like, if anyone takes 35 seconds to try to connect these very obvious dots, he's kind of been found out. So he knows that kind of clock is ticking.
Yeah.
If there's one thing that Sung Jin Woo has, despite the awakening, the reawakening, the man's got experience.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely showing now with all those C-rank dungeons that he's cleared, B-rank enemies that he's fought. It's definitely showing through.
All this like background knowledge, I feel like he amassed it even before he gained the ability, because he was like a survivor.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And he always survived, and he saw a lot. And he even talked about it from like episodes 1 and 2. Like, for these reasons, like, I can't do shit, and now he's it's not a factor to him.
Yeah, I mean, episode 1, 2, he figures out pretty much all the commandments for everybody.
Exactly.
So there's a baseline there for sure for him.
Yeah.
Gives him the potion too, which was just funny.
That felt like, close your eyes and open your mouth. I was like, what are we, is this, I was like, what are we doing here?
Sus.
Yeah, it was very sus. But yeah, Song is also showing off that kindness that he still has in him a little bit. And
so when him being chief goes back to the office, gets the knowledge that he's been scammed, but then is like, okay, I've got his number, like, we're in the door type of deal. That just makes me laugh of his like half glass full outlook on what actually just happened to him.
He paid $600 million for Song Jin-woo's phone number, basically.
The audio is not saying Song Jin-woo. The audio is like a Japanese name, but the subtitles say Song Jin-woo. I know we've talked about it before, like if they changed his name, and they totally, if you're watching it in Japanese without subtitles and you can understand Japanese, it was like Mizu something. It was like a long thing.
Really?
That was not
Song
Jin-woo.
I have not noticed that.
No way.
Yeah. I swear. Unless whatever site I was watching on was, the audio was busted, he was not saying it.
I mean,
I could be wrong.
We'll have to come back with that in the finale episode, but I haven't noticed it, to be honest. It's hard because Japanese, like for us as English speakers, a lot of the times, like the name will be the first part of the sentence, whereas like in Japanese, it kind of gets like, I don't know, it's always consistently in the same spot over and over, and I never really can recognize it. But
because I mean, we'll theoretically, like at,
there you're right, change. Though. I mean,
yeah, like they could, the audio, and then we're obviously only watching the subtitles. So,
and it's again, it's not like, you know, they've ever the same told thing, us like, we're in Japan either.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a time where they mentioned Korea, and you could probably go to a line where it mentions Korea, and it'll probably just say Nippon instead.
Right, right. Instead.
Well, that's a weird way to translate, though. That's really odd.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't get to that level. I don't know. But like Jeju Island is an island off of Korea, like that's not a Japanese island.
Mm-hmm.
True.
So
very,
maybe it again, still takes place in Korea then. They haven't confirmed or denied that.
I think they're keeping it purposely ambiguous.
Well, definitely. There's going to be characters, like they already brought up,
well, yeah, it'll get
that
to
there's
point,
characters
yeah.
from other countries, so we're going to learn about other countries.
Get into that.
If those guys roll in with Korean flags, that would be crazy.
That'd be so funny.
That'd be hilarious.
But we'll get there in what, 2 years?
Yeah, so let's go ahead. That was pretty much everything for episode 10. I think we covered everything there. So let's jump into episode 11. And this is where I want to start again with the side plots. And then we'll get into Song Jin-woo's big fight here. But the main thing that I want to talk about from episode 11 is Jin-ho and the family dinner that he has with his father and older brother. And like I was saying, I think it was in the last episode, like these are the scenes that I really want more of. This is, I don't remember again if this happened in the webtoon.
Do you really?
I think it's pretty interesting. I like the Yujin construction like side of it. I mean, obviously, in an ideal world, only Song Jin-woo storyline, and it's just like fight after fight. Yeah. But in terms of building up the world and what's happening, I think these scenes are very important. Like, I don't really care about, you know, Juhi's side story. I don't really care about like these other characters that have eventually died off side stories. I like this one because this is like immediately going to impact like this. The stuff that happens with Yujin construction is going to immediately impact our boy because he's a part of them, or I don't know if he is technically a part of them right now. At least he's working for them right now. But I just like this aspect. I don't even remember meeting the brother in the webtoon, and it was honestly really cool seeing it here because I have someone I can root against. Like, this kid is clearly
a
dick.
A
His name is Jin Song. He has had no luck recruiting any S rank hunters in their country to join Yujin construction. But they did say, he did say that he was looking overseas to the Middle East and somewhere else specifically for Hunter.
Fuck him. I don't give a shit about him.
Yeah. I mean, Jin-ho's the guy. We know that he's going to win in the end.
Yeah, he has to. I mean, his brother
he's got Sung Jin Woo on his side. Like, yeah, he's unbeatable.
And he says it too, or he thinks it rather. It's like, you don't know.
Would you wear that armor that he wore? I would wear it. I would wear that shit. No doubt. Yeah.
I would at least wear it out until someone told me, like, yo, you look like an idiot. Are you kidding me? When Pops gave that to me, and then I looked at myself in the mirror when I was alone, I'd be like, fuck, yeah. Thick as shit right now.
Yeah.
You look like the Shogun.
Yeah. I would be fucking flexing in the mirror all day.
All right, let's get into the meat and potatoes, baby. Let's get Sung. At the very beginning, he's considering his job change quest, but obviously we know he's going to accept it because it's an opportunity, one, for him to get stronger. He knows that Huang's brother is on the lookout for him and that he needs to at least get to a point of being able to compete with an S rank. So even if the stakes are high, as always, it's time to cook, like Kyle said. So I love the shadow shot that we get right before he enters of him kind of just in the park, just standing there, but the shadow is just kind of reaching out into nothing. It's awesome. But he does enter. We learn right away that he can't use potions or full recovery, and he can't leave until the dungeon is over. And immediately he just encounters a countless number of knights, essentially, that just keep getting stronger and eventually mimic his experiences that he's had since entering the Cartanon Temple in episode 1. So I always thought that was a nice touch that, especially looking back with the knowledge that we have of reading and everything, it's just such a cool touch that this dungeon in particular mimics the experiences that he had, just because, again, this is just to not only establish how far he's come, but also to train him even further in those lengths. So I love these scenes here. And even the knights even look like the people that he had to kill in the past too. So that was a great touch, I thought.
Yeah. It's also 100%. Feels like these are like his potential jobs.
Yeah, true. You're also looking, you're getting the mages, you're getting the assassins, the bruisers, the knights, yeah, like the everything. Knights. You're absolutely right. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, because he's thinking about this too the whole time. Like, he knows he's about to get a job change or like his job here. And so he's really considering all of who he's fighting as well as the role that he's going to play. So I like that you pointed that out.
But I like gear the mage too. I forgot about that.
Yeah,
that? Like at this point, he hasn't been using gear. He actually like starts to wear the gear that he's, I think, been collecting.
He's had maybe like he's never had a chest piece, but I think he does get like gauntlets earlier in the season. But like, again, he always rocks them being invisible, which I love that fair. Touch of the show, because it is just like in World of Warcraft, where if you get like a really sick piece of armor that has like all these great stats, but it looks so stupid, like you can just turn that off and just still have these stats. Like, it's a nice touch.
Definitely. I think that is one of the coolest parts, actually. Because imagine him walking around like fucking Jin Woo. So he looks like a dumbass, but
we need the suit.
But I like the introduction to this dungeon. I feel like he's been just fucking shit up now for like 9 episodes straight. So it's about time for him to have a challenge.
Yeah, Cerberus was his last tough test, but that was still like a few episodes ago. I want to say maybe 2 episodes ago. And even in between those, like all the dungeons that he's been clearing haven't been quite the challenge that our boy Egress has presented. But this was so amazing. So he equips himself up and his fatigue has recovered. He reaches this door that, of course, looks eerily similar to the Cartanon Temple door that he saw in episode 1. And as soon as he opens that door, he gets that aura, baby, that.
Yeah, knees weak, murderous heavy.
Intent coming right from this empty throne room. And who else but Knight Commander Egress joins the fight, and Sung immediately knows that this is the person responsible for all the aura that is being hit and pressuring him right now. And we could just go into it, man. Was like, I am definitely going to be rewatching this episode probably tonight and just loving every second of this fight.
I just love the combination of like the zoom in shots, the slow-mo, and like the room scale stuff was just so good. Like, we get the zoom in on Egress, and then we get him making that first move, and we get the like zoomed out shot where like we can see the distance that he's covered, and then it gets slow-mo as he's doing the first strike. Like, all of that was just like perfect. It was just that the best way that they could have done it.
Everything you described right there was just a perfect introduction to just the strength of Egress and just how high the stakes were here. Like, this was going to be like no opponent that he has seen before. And that certainly was the case.
My one complaint is that he does the first swing and he being Egress, and then Sung Jin Woo is like, oh, he's, you know, breaking the pillars like they're dry branch twigs. In the webtoon, he says he's cutting it like it's tofu, and that's some fucking bullshit.
It's probably the translation.
So that's all I'm gonna say.
That is pretty fucking funny.
There, and they robbed us of it.
Well, nobody really cares about tofu that much.
They do in Korea and Japan, and right here on this podcast
at your house.
So,
at
this podcast. So.
Egress is the fucking best. Is one of the greatest characters in the show, and it. I don't even want to. That's it. I can't even fucking talk about it, dude.
There's so many good parts to the fight. It's just, it's so great. It's such a contrast, like you're saying, Alki, too, of we've been watching him kick ass and watching so many reactions, and everyone was like literally dumbfounded, because all they've been showing us is him getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And then it's just like, where the fuck did this guy come
brick
from?
Brick wall, yeah.
Egress is definitely like an A rank. Like,
and everybody's definitely, like, right? How is he getting out of this? It's just so good, man. There's so many good animation choices that got made.
I have so many notes, or like not notes, but just comments. Like, I love when Sung drops the dagger or whatever he does. Like, he swings the dagger
and then
he kind of let go. Yeah, he switches hands and just does. Oh,
does the good old Arya Stark?
Yeah, pretty much. That was so fucking hot. I love that moment. And then, of course, when they switch the fists and Egress like drops the cape and he drops the sword, God. And he's like, oh, you're feeling pretty confident, aren't you?
So fire. That was one of my favorite parts of watching people's reactions. Everyone is like looking at the person next to them like, is this actually happening? Like, this guy's so badass.
God damn, dude. To know what it would be like to experience that organically, like, for the first time is sick.
I'm envious.
Like, I read, like, reading it is awesome, watching it come alive. I mean, we say it every time we meet. It's a different feeling.
I really,
and they definitely added some bits to the fight too, right? 100%. Which they do all the time, but that's cool with me because it's such a treat.
The fight in the webtoon honestly felt like very quick almost, but like it didn't really feel like there was ever a chance for me to feel like Song was at a point of ever really losing, whereas here obviously
I just reread it because I again was like,
I know the
really
throne shot. The throne shot is definitely parallel, definitely, like that's one to one.
He pieces him up pretty quickly in the webtoon, as in Egress kicks the shit out of him pretty quickly. Too how they were like emphasizing here in the anime when Sung's like, okay, like we're probably about the same speed, but like he's definitely stronger and all this kind of stuff. And then when they go barehanded, right on his ass. Literally right on his ass. Sung can't keep up. It's just like he is right on him with like a lariat right to the gut. He puts him right in the ground, and it's like, oh my God. He literally doesn't let him breathe. He throws him to the wall. And then that first punch. And then again, like they give us that zoom out where like we're looking from the side, and the first punch comes, and then the second punch, and then third, fourth, and then it starts to speed up and you feel the impact, and then the wall cracks. And I was like, dude, they are killing it right now. It looks so fucking cool.
It lived up to so much expectations, because when you're reading this for the first time, you're just like, you're thinking about how are they ever going to animate this better than like how they're drawing it, to be honest, because it was drawn so fucking
well. Yeah.
And like, they honestly knocked it out of the park. I think obviously the anime adaptation of is way better than the webtoon version, but I never thought I'd be saying that, to be honest, with how good the webtoon has been drawn. But
he's juggling him at one point. It was like, this is our main character, like what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
It's so good.
But
some people too that were like, dude, you gotta like bring out a gun. Like, does he have a gun in his back pocket? Like, how is he ever gonna beat this guy right now?
That's
so
funny.
And of course it's
the guard guarding the knight guarding the empty throne.
It's such a poetic,
I know,
it's fire. So poetic, and it just, I know immediately what it means.
That I appreciated that a lot and more now.
I just love when Song just ends up on the throne. Like, it's just so symbolic. It just foreshadows so much of about what's gonna happen. It's such a clean shot, even though he is like on death's door, but It's a total fake out, obviously.
Dude, that Egers, fucking moment was so bold.
Egers comes in, uses the ruler's hand, grabs that sword back to him, which I thought was fucking badass. Yeah. Force pulls it to him, comes in for the finishing blow, but Sungjin Woo, of course, what else is he gonna do other than the eye gouge? Classic. That's how he's beaten pretty much on all of the major villains, I'm pretty sure, except for Kang. Like, it's just been an eye gouge and that's it.
He went back to survival mode.
Yeah, but that's what he needed.
He needed a wake-up call.
That's realistically the only weak spot he had. I mean, the armor is not getting pierced by the knife. If you have a shot at the eye, click that fatal strike, baby, and let's get a nice accurate strike in.
He was fucking spamming fatal strike.
Oh, dude. That was honestly so cool too. It's just fatal strike popping up on the screen, and then it's like switches the animation over to like that black and I don't even know what it was. Cool. Like, oh, I thought it was.
That's so what cool. They did in JJK. That was like
that's
awesome.
What it was. Yeah,
it had a good
I was
impact.
Trying to think. Yeah. For,
Sukuna versus Maruaga.
Yeah, that's what I was feeling.
Man, did you guys, side note, did you see the like updated version of that fight?
Yes, I knew that they would do it. Yeah, they put it, they like released it high def on Blu-ray, I guess, or something
looked
like that.
Pretty good.
But after like 30 fatal strikes, Egress is finally down for the count. What is he? Did he finish him off with like a dagger blow to the neck? Is it or something like that? I think so.
He right just up, hits him so many times.
Right up here.
But either way, I think he gains like it's at least 5 levels. I want to say from beating
it was
him.
Tough. I couldn't tell because the things that immediately pop up are the rewards.
That's true. It also so we'll cover that. He obviously gets the Egress helmet, which dope.
Yeah.
And
S rank.
And it teleports. Yes, his first S rank piece of armor, which. Sweet for him. He gets a teleportation stone, which he's gotten one before. Like this one felt different than the other.
He had one for the other.
That like, one was
the demon gate.
He had one for the instance dungeon too.
Did they look like this? Were they green? I don't know why.
Yeah, I thought they were green. I thought
for some reason this one looked different to me. I wasn't sure if it was like a special teleportation stone, but if it's all the same, it's all the same. But we got a new skill rune, baby. Ruler's hand, which. If it wasn't obvious enough, Egress does do it. That's when he catches the sword and when he's about to finish Sungjin Woo. So basically, Sungjin Woo will have the ability of the Force.
Well, it's interesting too because
it's another broken ability.
Because we see him use it with the weapon, Egress, and then we know that Sung can just like call his weapon into his inventory and call back out because he literally does it to win, essentially.
Yeah. So what's the difference?
Which is a good thing. So, yeah, not that. I mean, I know there is a difference.
Yeah, we know how he'll eventually use.
He just uses it way cooler. Yeah, he uses it way cooler.
It's just this giant like ghost hand, essentially, that'll just fucking grab onto anything. Oh my god! Beast. Yeah, I only know. I kept writing ruler's authority because, you know.
Yeah, well, that's what it is.
Yeah,
it's the same thing with like when he is like getting low health and his defense goes up because in the show it's willpower and then in the webtoon I think it's perseverance, but it's the same thing.
Tell us about the other stones you got.
Was there
He just gets 1.5 mil coins.
Doesn't he get an ability where he's like, if it crushes it, I don't know what it does, and he's like puts it in his pocket?
No, that was the ruler's
hand. That's the
that
yeah,
was
ruler's
he hasn't instead. He hasn't given himself ruler's hand yet. That was the one.
Yeah. And then he gets.
You want to know something funny?
Teleportation.
The whole time I read Webtoon, Egress thought it was a woman.
Really? Just because of the hair?
I love that. That's funny.
Egress sounds like a woman's name to me.
Really? Nah.
Yeah.
Egret.
Egress sounds like a woman's name to me. I thought it was a woman's name. I thought it was a woman.
Confused with Dungeons and Dragons, Game of Thrones. The final
scene.
The
body is like kind of sleek. I don't know.
The final scene that we get here is. Sung is questioning why the dungeon isn't closing since he just beat the boss, but we realize that this is only half the battle, essentially. A new quest has started where it says is survive as long as you can. And we just
enhancement
get a wave.
Points.
Yeah, we just get
whatever the heck
a
that means.
Wave of enemies here that Sung needs to meticulously try and beat now that he just fought Egress, so obviously he's not at 100% or I guess 0% fatigue.
They show us too. He pulls up on the screen.
It's like 46,
like,
maybe.
He fights for a little bit, yeah, and he tries to use the stealth skill, and he pulls up what his stats are, and like his HP is down, and his mana is down, and
so can't really spoil anything here, but yeah, yeah. this is what's going to be coming in the next episode. He's going to have to fight, and
yeah, he freaking loses the teleportation stone again. It's the same exact thing that happened with Cerberus in the Demon Gate.
Yeah.
He just is like holding it and he's like, "Oh, maybe I should think about using this." And then he just gets smoked and it just runs away.
It's funny because like it's just we know, like, especially it becomes like even more clear to me in this Egress fight, like when he's fighting Egress and he's at like 30% health and that defense boost kicks in. It's just like the system does want him alive, you know, like the system is not going to let him go down so easily. But this is kind of like the opposite of that, where it's like, what's going to happen if he, like, what happens if he doesn't survive the timer, you know, like what that's like things that people should be asking. Like at this point, basically people should be thinking like, oh, he's been kind of like been granted immunity almost. But this is like the point where it's like, okay, immunity's out the window. Like you gotta just survive at this point and figure out what happens. So it's all gonna be nothing but peak going forward here.
One episode, crazy.
Yeah, one episode. Know the name left. Of it.
We're only this is like chapter like 38, 37.
Can you give us the title name, or is it?
I mean, it's what you think it is.
Yeah, that's not, yeah, exactly. So stupid. That's so
it shows
stupid.
Up at the end. Ah. I do that every time after you watch like the outro. It shows up like episode 12, and then
all right, let's go to the spoiler part.
That's so stupid, but all right, we'll give some people some time here to make their way out of the podcast if you do want to avoid spoilers, because Alki, Kyle, and I will now.
Now that
start
I'm thinking about it too, we always kick people out, and theoretically, those are like people. Well, not theoretically, they literally are people that haven't seen anything or read anything, and then that's like their last thing. So, thanks for watching.
Yeah, thanks for watching.
Yeah, we'll see you next week.
Subscribe to the shit online.
Yeah. They get like the most abrupt exit. Yeah. And then everyone else who stays, like,
it's not until you subscribe and read until you really get the full, you know, Binge Town treatment.
Yeah. That's
subscribe.
Okay. They're gone by now.
But yeah, I mean, I'm so pissed that if they're going to fucking name the title of the episode Necromancer, I'm guessing that's what it's called.
No, it's Arise.
Oh, okay.
Why would it be that? That's
what I thought. That's what I thought you were saying. I was like, what a fucking bullshit.
Dude, are you sure about that rune? I'm actually really thrown off by that.
No, it's 100%.
All right.
That's what it is. Now that you're saying, does it say it?
It says Ruler's Hand. Like, I'm pretty sure. Like, it's like Ruler's Hand. He's like, what does this do?
Yeah, because it's not hidden in the webtoon at all. So,
yeah. But, dude, of course it's going to be Arise. I can't believe I would think. I was like, they're really going to name it Necromancer?
That would be insane.
So Ruler's Hand is not the Arise?
No. Arise is like his class ability. Like, that's like him when he becomes a Necromancer. Yeah. Like, that'll be his, like...
Ruler's Hand,
an ability.
He uses it on enemies. Like, he pulls people into his...
That's what Kyle was saying. It's like, eventually he'll crush, like, skulls, basically, with the Ruler's Hand. So that's
right. Yeah. I remember that he'll be able to use other objects. Like, he doesn't just need to call his dagger.
Yeah.
All right. So then when he gets through this like wave of fucking Nazi zombies, he's going to be able to.
Well,
I'm really thinking that the last thing that's going to happen is like Egress
rises.
Becomes, like the black and purple. Like
that's fine.
I mean,
I call that shit.
Maybe like the last thing is like, I'm trying to remember how quick he gets the cut and starts wearing like the all black, like trench coat and shit.
I'm pretty sure it's like
he looks like Neo and shit.
I'm pretty sure, like, right after.
Does he not roll up to like his
dude? I would be like, okay, now I gotta change my whole personality.
I think when he goes to get
let me go get some Doc Martens, let me get as many black leather jackets as my $1.5 million coin pounce.
Like it's got to be like if it's not, it's got to be soon after. But I feel like if I'm him, I'm buying that suit, rolling up to my re-ranking, I'm just like all confidence, just like going up to that machine, looking clean as shit, just S rank.
The CEO of D&C Media, who is behind the Solo Leveling webtoon, said season 2 or part 2 is scheduled to air within the year.
That's insane, actually.
Hell yeah.
So they probably have it, and they did like a part, they're going to do like a part 1 and 2, kind of like apparently Spy X Family did that.
I mean, that makes sense because then it's Because anime, I know anime, I associate it with 24, one, like 24, mm-hmm. one season.
Yeah, 12 is too short.
Yeah, so it kind of makes sense that they're going to break this into a part two. I don't know. We'll see how it hits when we come back from that long break or whatever, when it comes back. I don't
mind
like
it. Fucking crack, dude. What do you mean?
Well, I'm just thinking of like for Invincible, it sucked, but that was, I guess, marketed way differently, which is why I'm probably more okay with this being a break.
It'll be like a surprise. It'll be like a surprise to everybody, like a treat, like a holy shit, it's out again.
And there was enough content to keep me satisfied. Whereas Invincible was like four episodes and then it was unannounced break. And it's like, what are we doing here? Whereas here, yeah. I guess it's okay.
It's going to be amazing.
But was
I just can't do
else?
We're literally gonna in a few days our eyeballs are gonna watch Egress the first what is it he's still a knight when he gets he's not a commander yet yeah
I think they
all the titles and he's gonna get all the like the whole fucking room dungeon or like a throne room is gonna turn it's
I feel
like Biru, the purple and it's gonna be sick.
Biru might be the first commander that we get like yeah. Egress will evolve into a commander in that fight. But like Biru will be like coming just straight up as a commander.
Dude, I love Beirut. Like you guys have no idea how much I think. I fucking love that.
Your lock screen forever.
No, it was Dave's, not mine.
It's so funny. I always love. Yeah, it was. It's the look. It's Biru.
They're like face off.
Yeah, their face off. Oh my god,
go on.
Fresh screenshot, just like right from the manga. Just because I didn't. You don't need fan art for that. Like that shit just looked good.
No, you really don't. Actually, I'm not thinking about it. I don't think there's ever been any solo leveling fan art that I've seen that's better than just
just
content.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what's so fantastic about it, man.
Yeah.
It's so A plus.
When you guys think of Right Hand Man, who do you think of for Song? Who is
honestly,
it?
Beirut.
Nice. It sounds like you're are you saying Beirut like the city in Lebanon? That's what it sounds like you're saying.
I am. Isn't that how it's spelled?
No, it's B-E-R-U. There's no T. I think it's just B-E-R.
Beirut.
Or B.
Like, is this like an inside joke or something?
No, now it will be.
That's just so how my mind.
It was funny
in my mind.
All the people that just left, all the people that we just kicked out are just not going to understand this Beirut reference later in
Beirut,
season
yeah.
two.
Beirut.
All right, I'll make it Beirut.
But however you want to pronounce it. But either way, yeah, I probably... It's got to be
Beirut. Just been around.
Yeah,
longest,
yeah,
yeah,
I think that's...
It's Beirut, bro. Be. That guy's... fucking he's like the only one that talks, right?
I agree, like he's probably stronger,
more personality.
He's probably stronger than Egress throughout the series, like I don't deny that, but it's got
I just love how ride or die he is.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
I will say,
and he's like the third strongest character in the fucking story by the end, which is crazy.
Oh, yeah. If not like the second
yeah.
My last comment will be, and it feels bad to end on a lower sour note, but one thing I do miss is the comedy from the webtoon, where like the drawings when they get like super anime cartoony, because mm-hmm. like when he beats Egress and he gets the things and he turns into like a greedy little guy when he gets like 1.5 million and he's like
I
all
can picture
like,
those faces
and,
yeah
like I just that stuff always made me laugh and I loved it. They were probably never going to do it in the webtoon, but I kind of miss it.
Yeah, we'll see. I hope we get the, now that the army's coming, I hope we get the comedic beats from the army where they're all just like cheering in the background.
Yeah, like things like that. Like it's so funny when the art style changes that drastically to emphasize the comedy.
Dude, I can't believe it's a whole fucking army.
I know.
Like it's insane.
The number gets crazy at the end.
I want the defensive, the tank guy to come, because when he comes into the picture, that's when the comedy beats hit for the army, when he's just like, he does something heroic and like all the other people are just like clapping.
He was a nice one too. He was a good guy.
Not his human version, but
no, he was a douche, right?
As his reincarnation.
Is it me or did we see a flash of him with...
We might have. No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He might have been in that shot of...
I think he might have been in that shot. He
might have been in that reconnaissance mission.
It was a darker guy. I always thought he was white. Guy looked kind of dark in the flashback, but that doesn't mean I might have saw it wrong, or maybe I... It doesn't...
They have been laying the seeds. Like, they have, like, those girls that randomly were talking to Chahe in at like, the girl... There's the black-haired girl with glasses and, like, the other girl. But they have been dropping those kinds of side characters in the background and whatnot. So I wouldn't be surprised if, honestly, we have seen him. Like, he, again, might have been at that gathering when Choi gathers his guild. Like, he probably was there if I were to go back there.
You know, that's going to be cool.
Yeah. Is there any,
No, I'm done.
Any final thoughts?
I'm done.
All righty.
Can't wait to watch.
Yep. That's going to be it for today's episode coverage of Solo Leveling. If you like what you heard, give Bingetown TV a follow on all of our socials at Bingetown TV, X, Insta, YouTube, everything the works. Be sure to join our Discord and chat with us about anything that you're watching. Give us your thoughts on Solo Leveling, how you've been reacting to the anime, and how you're feeling for this final episode. Lastly, for all of our podcast catalog, check out BingetownTV.com. You'll see a nice organized list of every show that we've covered alphabetically, so it might be much easier than scrolling through Spotify or Apple Podcasts and trying to find a show that way. So definitely check out the website. And if I didn't say it enough, once again, we are Bingetown TV, and thanks for listening.
Yeah, buddy.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.